Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And this morning we'll be reading verses 12 through 17. Verses 12 through 17 of Revelation chapter 2. And this is the holy word of God. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name. And did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, and who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. So you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. And that is the word of the Lord. It may be shocking to us if you think back and you read verse 13 again, that Pergamum is called the place where Satan dwells, where his throne is. And this can have two possible meanings. The first, in that area of the world at that time, they had many gods, the Greek gods, and so this could be a man-made god of healing that was worshipped there in that place. But perhaps more convincing of a possibility was that Pergamum was actually a capital of the province of Asia for Rome. It was a Roman capital of the province of Asia. And here there were temples then dedicated to the worship of Caesar, to the leader of Rome. And Christians were also being called there, not just, it wasn't just a place of Rome, just like we have a place of, I don't know, Buddhist worship somewhere here in Kansas City, but Christians were actually called to come to that temple and worship and declare that Caesar is Lord. And so there's one of Satan's thrones there. And in spite of the fact that Satan's throne was located in that place, we have information that Antipas had been put to death there because, he refused to be unfaithful to the Lord. He remained faithful. And believers there in Pergamum still clung tenaciously to that confession of faith that they had in Christ. Even in the midst of, and in the face of persecution, they remained faithful. But Jesus, who's saying this, John's writing it down, Jesus who's saying this, he sees all, he knows all, he knew of their sin. And so while they remained faithful, they still had sin. And it was a pretty big sin. The church in Pergamum did not exercise church discipline. There were people in their assemblies that were teaching false things, and the church was doing nothing about it. The ministers who were preaching, they were not preaching against it. The elders, as we have the session, they were not doing anything about it. The people were not coming before those people and calling them to repent and turn from their sins. There was no church discipline. They were taking also part in pagan festivals. And so when you see where it says they were eating things sacrificed to idols, committing acts of immorality, they were actually going to the places, festivals, pagan festivals, where they would worship pagan gods. They were taking part in these things. And the church was compromising in their faith and in their practice. So, beloved, are you listening? Jesus then says, repent if this is you. And he says to us, repent if this is us, if this is our church, if we're compromising in our faith and the gospel and our practice, then we need to repent, or what will happen? Repent, or we have the promise of Jesus. Jesus says if we're compromising in our faith and practice and our church discipline, his self-designation, verse 12 says, the one who has a sharp two-edged sword says this. That's Jesus. He has the sharp two-edged sword. And that's not a nice, friendly, awesome two-edged sword. That's an awesome, but powerful two-edged sword of judgment. And for he says, I'm coming to you quickly. So here's his promise. I'm coming to you quickly, not after a while, but quickly, and I will make war against those who do not repent. And I'll make war with the sword of my mouth, is what he's saying. And that doesn't mean just words, but they will be words of judgment, which will actually lead to physical, spiritual judgment. Destruction. And so, beloved, listen carefully. Christ will destroy those who persist in their worldly practices, and they know about these worldly practices, and they persist in them. He will carry out his sentence of condemnation. But to the one who repents, to the one who overcomes, he also gives a promise that they will receive the hidden manna. If you think of John 6, you'll receive Christ in all his fullness, hidden from the world but revealed to believers, revealed to God's people. And then you look at the rest of verse 17. The rest of those blessings in verse 17 are kind of hard to interpret. But we can discern this from it, that at the very least, and there's more here, but I don't know what the rest of it means, but at the very least, the believer in Christ will receive a new name. And that is that you'll receive a new relation to your Savior, who is revealed in a glorious transformed character. That we'll have also a new glorified bodies, and we'll be with Jesus. And so we have the promise of the hidden manna. We'll see Christ in all his fullness if we do repent. But we have the warning. If we don't repent, he will bring his word of judgment. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of his mouth. The double-edged sword. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that for many, many years in this place, we have had the very the most productive expression of church discipline from this congregation, that is the preaching of the word. We pray that you would continue that it would be faithful here, even through me and anybody else who comes and preaches the word here, that you would protect this church, but that you would make it a place where we are learning of our sin, and that we are learning and growing in our love of the Savior Jesus Christ. That he, through his word, just as he does here in Revelation, that he would continually teach us the word. That he would correct us and rebuke us and train us in righteousness. That is church discipline, or that is the predominant church discipline that is used by you. Father, we pray also that you would make our members faithful to be putting to death sin. That you would cause us, as we see our brother or sister in any particular sin, that we would go to them in private, that we would go to them in a spirit of gentleness and call them to repentance through your word. And Lord, we pray for our elders, that as we continue in the teaching and preaching ministry here, and as it says in Acts, so as we continue faithfully in the word and in prayer, one, we pray that you would cause us to be faithful in those things, to be in the word and in prayer, but then also shepherding the flock with these things, with the word, with your word. That you would not allow us to be compromising in our faith or in our practice, but that you would call us to a higher calling, that we would be a congregation that worships you according to your word, and that we live our lives according to your word, and you give us this great faith in Christ, which is a gift. And so we need your grace, we need your strength, we need your spirit. Father, give us the hidden manna. Give us Jesus in all his fullness. We pray in his name. Amen.